Read to the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue our study on the things that accompany salvation, in particular the things that accompany faith, because faith is that which is a necessary part of salvation. And faith has many things. Remember, I've been describing faith like a giant jigsaw puzzle. Big pieces, little pieces, hard to see pieces, different colors, shapes, forms. And salvation is like that. But we see it clearly when we study the Word of God. Hebrews 6:9, that we started a study on, part one, was, here's what the Spirit of God says to the writer. But beloved, and he calls those in the church, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Though we thus speak, accompany salvation. So today we're going to continue on the things that accompany salvation, but we're going to be speaking on faith, and we were speaking on faith last week. We're going to continue, but we'll be speaking more about the tongue. And we'll be speaking on the tongue probably again next week. There's so much that there's not enough time to speak about everything about faith. And I'll say this, I said it last week, that A.W. Tozer once said, and says, because you can read his writings, that faith is one of the most, and probably the most, highly misunderstood doctrine of grace. And I agree with him, because what many people think is faith is not faith. Not faith at all. So last week, we spoke on the things that accompany salvation, starting with faith. And in so doing, we mentioned a few things that accompany faith. And we'll continue to do so again today. Let us turn to the book of James, chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 20. Where the writer says to the Holy Spirit, addressing the Hebrew believers and others, he says in James 2:20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, O vain woman, that faith without works is dead? And we discussed this last week, but he makes a question and he turns it around actually this way. But wilt thou know, but are you willing to know, O foolish person, that faith without works is dead? And then we have the argument with Paul, we're justified by faith. That's true, but Paul doesn't leave out good deeds, good behavior, which are works, as you read more of his epistles. And then he's speaking about faith without action, deeds, works, a behavior is dead, totally dead, lifeless, spiritually, physically. So why would then faith without works, without action, good deeds, be said to be dead? Why would it be said to be dead? Well, we turn in the same chapter, go back three verses to verse 17, James chapter 2, verse 17. And we're going to see why, that many fail to understand. And the biggest reason they fail to understand is that many do not read the scriptures intently. So James chapter 2, verse 17 says, here's why it's dead. Even so, faith, if it has not works or deeds, behavior, produce, is dead. Why? Because it's alone. It's all by itself. There's nothing that accompanies it. There's nothing that's a part of it. Nothing goes with it. There's nothing necessary. So, everything that I'm saying to most people is unnecessary. God says, no. I'm going to show you the things in the Bible that are necessary in true saving faith. Faith is never alone. Why? Because true saving faith, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You're not by yourself. And he's the teacher. So, it must have things that accompany it, that go with it, that are absolutely necessary and needful, a part of it. Because without that true saving faith, you'll never grow in faith. You're not truly born again. How can you be born again if you're not grown in grace and in truth, in the ways of Jesus Christ? Oh, I have faith, I believe Jesus. Devils believe in Jesus too, and they're not saved. But they have faith. They have a greater faith than you have. Because they've seen him in heaven. They've seen him on this earth. And they know that the lake of fire has been prepared for them. Have you come to torment us before the time? They said to Jesus Christ. They know there's a torment. Faith, true saving faith, will always reveal itself. How? In actions. By what you're doing. How you're speaking. How you think is going to be revealed, because you can reveal it in bodily expressions. Verbal also. It's going to come out. And it shows its deeds, what you're doing openly. Starts in the heart, unseen, but you see it because you're imagining it already. And then it comes out through that lying tongue, that perverse tongue, in its actions, physical, bodily actions toward one another, to God himself, toward your own self. Always producing, see, true faith always produces what kind of fruit? Good fruit. A good tree only bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear both. And a bad tree cannot bear both. One or the other. And that's continually, constantly. Well, look at here in the real world. Look at your fruit trees out there. Yes, you might have a rotten orange. But 99.9% all the oranges are good. Why did it get rotten? Bugs attacked it. Well, why does your fruit go bad? Because you've been attacked by the biggest bug in history, a devil. He attacks. Good fruit. But how? How is that good fruit produced? It's produced from a good and honest heart. So have you ever examined whether your heart is good and whether it is honest? Or you just take it for granted because, oh, I'm saved and I believe in Jesus, that everything's kosher. We are to examine whether we have a good and an honest heart. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And see what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's talking about the parable of the seed, the sower. Speaking to us as he spoke to them. It's about us today. He says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, and through the Spirit of God, because he is the God, the Spirit of God, he's Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. He says this, but that on the good ground are they which in what? An honest and what? A good heart. And an honest and a good heart, having what? Heard the word, not heard an opinion, reading a newspaper article, reading some philosophy and science fiction, they heard the scriptures being preached. In this case, they heard it straight from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Holy Spirit, the author and the finisher of our faith, who inspired all scripture to be written by holy men that were moved by God. Having heard the word, and then what? Here's what's required in faith. Keep it. That means to obey it. To treasure it in your minds, in your hearts. Not to forget it. To act upon it. And bringing forth fruit, good deeds, good works, with what? Patience. Patience. How many times have you heard somebody says, don't pray for me for patience? Well, you're sinning. Because God says you're going to have patience. He's going to teach us patience through trials and tribulations. Faith will reveal an honest and a good heart. True faith will produce an honest and a good heart. And through the word of God, because he reads, she will read the scriptures with understanding and seek that understanding. They will not be deceived and tempted and led astray and bringing forth fruit. The fruit that he's talking about here is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, meaning love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness of faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit that will be here when we leave is those that we persuaded to the Holy Spirit to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples. Because they're going to walk in truth, and they're going to produce disciples. That fruit is producing disciples of and for Jesus Christ. That is the only fruit that when we leave is going to remain. And they're going to show it, and they'll even speak about those who led them to the Spirit of God, to God, and taught them what it really means to walk in faith, to be a true believer. The love that you have for your children, in time, they're going to forget you. The memory will go. They'll think less and less about you. But the truly converted, that you led through the Spirit of God, to the teaching and preaching, and living that godly lifestyle before them will remain. Will remain. That's the fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100, some 160 and 30. Some start small, and later in life, they just explode. Some start big, but as life goes down, they go lower and lower and lower, but they're still producing. That's the fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is going to be there, that love, joy, peace, and so on, as you're doing this, because they're going to see the love of Christ in you coming to them. They don't really see you. What they're going to be doing is hearing the truth, because God is right there. And they're going to see Jesus Christ speaking in you and through you to them. He converts them, not us. He wins them over to the Holy Spirit, not us. The word winneth means to persuade one from the error of his ways to the truth of Almighty God. Not to have them utter a simple prayer coming down an aisle and says, I believe you, the sinner's prayer. That's not winning souls. We're commanded to obey the word of God. Faith. And when we speak about faith, very few will speak and teach that the faith that we have been given by Christ Jesus is holy faith. Not a simple faith. It's not a worldly faith. It's not mixed with impurities. Holy faith. It's even more so, we'll find out in a moment. And that holy faith is that which controls the tongue. Try to control your tongue without the faith of Christ in you. You can try to discipline yourself. Well, I'm not going to say this anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to think this anymore. Really? Well, just go back. Every New Year's. You've done it since you were little kids. You made resolutions. At midnight, you're making resolutions. At 12:01, at 12 and 15 seconds into the new year, you just broke almost all of your resolutions. Within a week, you forgot them all. You're back to your old self. Where's your discipline? You can't discipline your thinking, and you're thinking you got words. Remember what I said last week? There's two tongues. Here's my natural tongue in the flesh. But the mind has a tongue of its own. It has eyes of its own. And it has a mouth of its own, ears. It hears. You have dreams. You have visions. You're talking to yourself. You're talking to somebody else. And they're talking to you. And you're replying to them while you're asleep. Huh? Now what's going on there? And what's going on in here comes out here. Right here. Yeah. But you don't think about it. There's a spiritual tongue. And there's a natural tongue. Which is it? Which is it? What's going to control the tongue? Holy faith. So without the discipling, the disciplining of one's tongue, it will reveal a life that is out of control, meaning a life that is out of harmony with the Holy Scripture. Can two walk together except they be agreed as one? Well, how can you walk together and be agreed as one in Christ Jesus if the mind isn't being disciplined to think like Christ and to purge everything that is unclean and filthy in the spirit and in the body? Because it starts here. Doesn't start here or out there. It's here. I see it. I hear it. I'm visualizing it. I start to experience in it. And I'm dwelling on it in here before it all comes out. And you can't hold it. Sin is that deadly. Out of control, out of harmony with the Holy Spirit. Are you walking in newness of life or not? You can't walk in the newness of life, the life of Christ, without not only holy faith, the most holy faith. That word, the most, means Jesus Christ. Not the faith of another person. Not the faith of your pastor. Or your president. Christ. Because his faith is in us. Paul said, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So always distinguish when you talk about faith. Is it Christ's faith in me? Or is it my own faith that I made up? Or had somebody else teach me how to make it up? Faith. We are called to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And Peter speaking to the Holy Spirit, he says this, but as he, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, which hath called you, is what? He's holy. So here's the admonition, the warning, the exhortation. So be you holy, what? In all manner of conversation, conduct, living, inward and outward. Why? Because it is written where? In the Holy Scriptures, not Scriptures, Holy Scriptures, be ye what? Holy, for I am holy. And here is a passage of Scripture that many who profess to know Christ ignore. I'm saved. So I don't get any rewards, but I'm going to heaven. Who told you you're going to heaven? Why be fool? Read the Word of God. That holy faith that we receive because of Christ Jesus living in us through His Holy Spirit, that holy faith must be in a constant state of building. How? Building up. Structuring yourself in the manner and the life, in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word edify means to build up, to structure. It's like a building. You frame it from the bottom up, and then you enclose it. And what do we enclose ourselves with? The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, His holiness, His righteousness, His truth, His love. It goes on and on. In a constant state of building it up, look at Jude, the book of Jude, chapter 20. I want to talk about your most holy faith. And here in the book of Jude, the writer will say this. There's only one chapter, and verse 20, and Jude says, "But you, beloved," and he calls them beloved, what? Building. That word building is an ongoing constant state. Always, moment by moment, even in your sleep, because you can talk to God, because you're not sleeping really. The body just rests. And I know you love to talk, but some people talk my ear off. Building constantly up yourselves on what? Now look what Jude says. On what? Your what? Most holy faith. That's Jesus Christ. His way, His manner, His way of living. What He's teaching us. Your most holy faith. We get that faith from Jesus Christ. And then how are you to do it? Praying in what? A spirit? No, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Christ the God. So we pray in the Spirit and we pray with the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Huh? How? If you're not living in the Spirit, how can you walk with Him? And if you're not living with Him, you can't talk like Him because you're not walking like Him and you're not living in Him. See the circle going back and forth? It just wraps itself around. Holy faith. Then why are we to do so? Why? Because it will reveal the type and the manner of persons that we really are. Whether we are true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, His disciples, His children, or not. Remember, hypocrisy is very smooth and subtle, but it always comes out in the end. Judas was a big hypocrite. Nobody recognized it. We only know what he was because the Spirit of God revealed it to the Apostle John and warns us how one can follow after Christ, okay, but not in a true heart. Deceived himself or herself, deceived those around them, and still be cast into the lake of fire. And receive gifts and talents from the Holy Spirit. And he had some gifts and talents, but he didn't use them properly either. His heart was covetous. He had a love of money, power, and wealth. And we find that in many people today, both in religion and out of religion. The type of person that we really are, the tongue, the mouth, the lips. When the Bible speaks about the mouth, you'll always find the tongue. Because you can't speak out of the mouth if you don't have a tongue. If that tongue is cut out, you can garble, but you're not going to utter a word. And if you have no lips, it can be pretty hard to speak also. Mouth, lips, tongue. Speech comes from the tongue. The tongue, our tongues, reveal much more about us than what we really think. For very few think about their tongues. Very few think about their speech, their languages. How they talk. How they talk with one another, to one another, about one another. Not just openly, but in private when nobody else is around. Ah, that bum over there. I can never do anything good around him. Oh, wait a minute. If I'm a bum, tell me I'm a bum to my face. I don't mind. I've been called a bum all my life. For the most part, it was true at one time. I still like bumming around. God put a clamp on me, though, and I thank Him. The tongue reveals much more of us than what we think. And very few people think about their tongues. And what it reveals about themselves, to themselves, and to others around them. Very few dwell on it. And we are to dwell on it, because it's a part of holy, Christ-like behavior. If we don't think about it, and we don't take the steps to rectify it quickly, then we don't have a godly witness, because our speech will reveal to others who we really are, what we really think about, what we really love. How can you talk about the love of Christ when you're condemning the person beside you or somebody that you haven't seen, and you're vilifying them, and you're using harsh and evil language? Huh? And yet you want to share Christ with them? Oh, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Wait a minute. That's not the way God teaches us. Love your neighbor as you would yourself. Neighbor is a stranger. Everyone here is a neighbor. You're sitting neighborly next to one another. Bus stop, gas station, restaurant, wherever you may be. Your neighbor. Not just the one that lives next to you, next door. Yeah. How do you talk to them? One moment you start talking about Jesus, next thing you start swearing like the devil. And I ran into this many times. Person starts talking good, and then all of a sudden, they're cursing like crazy. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. You just said that you're a Christian. What's going on? Unruly conduct. A lying tongue. Double-tongued. Speech filled with anger, malice, hate, envy, jealousy, flatteries. Showed a type of heart that one has. It reveals the type of thinking that one is doing in their heart, the mind. As the mind thinketh, so is the man. As you think in your heart, so are ye. It reveals it. But how many will take the time to examine themselves? What am I thinking? What have I been thinking since I got up this morning throughout the day? Who did I curse? Who did I find fault with? Who did I wish evil of? Huh? Who did I lie to? Huh? We don't examine ourselves. If we would examine ourselves daily, and you don't have to expend 24 hours each day, there's times, then you would see a big change. A change away from that lawless, wicked behavior toward a life of holiness and righteousness. To think like Jesus, to speak like him, to walk like him, to love like him, to show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not only does that conduct, that type of unrighteous conduct, reveal many things, but it also reveals the type of faith one has. Is it true, genuine, or is it false? Is it hypocritical? Is it a saving faith? There's a faith that damns you straight to hell. There's two types of faith. One saves, one damns. Devils have a faith, a damning faith. Unbelievers who profess Christ but don't live like Christ have a faith that damns. Unbelievers. So what kind of faith is it being revealed in you? Holy faith, your most holy faith, learns to put a watch over one's mouth. Not sometime, not infrequently, not on holidays, but on a constant and on an habitual Holy Spirit basis. Always on watch. Always on guard. Watch and pray. There's many reasons why Jesus says watch and pray, so that you do not enter into temptation. You know when you enter into most temptation? When you're not praying in faith and you're not watching in faith. And you're not living in faith. You're on your own. I can handle it. No problem. There ain't no devil over here. There ain't no sin over there. Oh, really? Really? Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, in the later studies, you're going to see the temptations that you miss. But you better take a look at your former lifestyle, and then you're going to start to see where the attacks are coming back again that you don't recognize. In the book of Psalms, chapter 39, verse 1, here's what the psalmist says about the mouth, the tongue, the lips, our ways, about faith. Here's what he says in Psalm 39, verse 1. And he says this to the Holy Spirit of God. And he's speaking in the first person about himself. As we read it, it speaks to us in the first person, ourselves. I will. Who will? Not talking to you. That I will is you, yourself. The scripture says to you, to me, I will what? Take heed. I will pay stark attention, deep attention to what? My ways. My ways. Those ways concern everything. Your imagination, how you think, how you speak, how you dress, how you walk, who you talk with, where you go, how you eat, how you drink, even how you sleep. I will take heed to my ways. Why? So that I sin not. I sin not. Not that somebody else. We're not talking about somebody else. The Word of God is talking to me, me personally, you personally. That I sin not. With what? My tongue. My unruly, unbridled tongue. I will what? Keep my mouth. I'll make my wife, my mouth, obey with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And the wicked is always before us. And the wicked here is not just a person or a demon. There's the wicked things from wickedness. We can see it. We can see it. You have a problem with women, and you're watching all the billboards, scantily dressed women. What are you doing with your eyes? One glance, just like that, will send you off the wrong path. Oh, you got a problem with alcohol. You haven't drank in 25 years. And here's a party of people drinking, having a good life, good time. All of a sudden, one glance, all of a sudden, bingo, off you go. Doesn't take much. Devil knows when to push the button. You don't know when he's going to push the button, and you don't know when God is going to test you with that button being pushed. Psalm 141, verse 3. Here's what the psalmist says again about her mouth, about her tongue, and he has to deal with faith. The tongue of faith, the language, the speech of faith, the action of the tongue of faith will cry this out. Set a watch, O Lord. Set a watch. Where? Before my mouth. Because my mouth is unruly and full of evil things. Keep the door. Guard the door of my lips. Because out of it come those words, those thoughts, those deeds, and those actions. Now here's a prayer. How many people that say that they're followers of Christ, Christians, think about these scriptures, and Jesus teaches us to pray with the scriptures. They're the Word of God. And these scriptures don't go back to God in vain. He performs that which he has spoken. The tongue of faith is a holy tongue, always bent on the holiness and the righteousness of the character of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Has one direction, Jesus Christ and his ways. Now, tomorrow, and forever. Never the other way. Doesn't flip-flop. It's like a pendulum swings both ways. That heart is bent one way. The ear is bent that way. The mind is bent that way. Meaning that I'm listening and I'm going to go ahead and do it. I will not listen to anything else. See, the mind of faith, the tongue of faith, won't listen to evil speech. Anything that looks evil, TV, radio, books, magazines, or one who professes to be a brother or a sister will cut them off very quickly with the Word of God. Will rebuke them. Never be afraid to rebuke a brother or sister that is sinning openly before you. God has given us that power and authority to recognize it and make sure that we are not doing the same. How many who say they have faith pray the prayer of faith? The Bible teaches us in several passages to pray the prayer of faith. Like this found in Job. Chapter 6, verse 24, turn there. I love the book of Job. It's very hard to understand. Job, chapter 6, verse 24. And many of you have read this passage, but it went over their heads. And many have not read it. Here's what the Spirit of God says in Job 6, 24. Teach me. Again, in the first person, me. He's not talking about teaching somebody else. The Word of God is now coming to you and I, personally, individually, even though we're here as a whole. Teach me, and what? I will what? Hold my tongue. I will keep my tongue from uttering those things that are not godly and edifying. I'll keep my tongue. And cause me, again, individually, cause me what? To understand wherein I have erred, where I've gone astray. In.
So where am I sinning? Where am I using my tongue in an ungodly manner? Am I finding fault where I shouldn't be finding fault? Do I have a critical spirit? Always criticizing everybody. They're never good enough. They can't do anything. They can't do it my way. They don't meet my expectations. Well, your expectations are full of manure because they're sinful. The expectation I look for is like Isaiah says, I want God's thoughts and his ways to be my thoughts and my ways, and I pray it for all of us here. Wherein I have erred. For many in Christianity never look at this. They never examine themselves to see where they've gone astray, where they are sinning. And the mouth is the biggest sinner of all because it brings out the sin that's in the heart. To understand all of this, then one must stop talking and listen intently to what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and about you. That's why I said earlier that in meditation, the word ponder is in there. Ponder also speaks about meditation. Okay, you have to examine. You hear passages like this passage here, Psalm 141:3, Job 6:24. You go over that. You keep breaking it down. You ask yourself questions. You dissect it back and forth. You chew on it like a cow chewing its cud. And you spit out everything that is nasty about yourself. Because the word of God is truth. And he's going to take the impurities out of us. Keep thyself pure, the word of God says. Paul talking to Timothy. Keep thyself pure. And how do you do that? You read the scriptures. You pray. You meditate. You break it apart. You examine yourself and put into practice everything that is true and get rid of everything that is not. And that's on a daily basis. So have you searched your own tongue to see if there's any iniquity in it? Have you searched? Many don't search the tongue. When King David said, search my heart, he's also talking about, remember the heart's up here, the center of the mind is in the heart. And you have a tongue in there. You have ears in there and eyes, and it speaks to you because your conscience will never let you sleep. It works. You are to do this. Don't do this. I've seen you do this. You're supposed to do this. You may try to harden it. You may try to suffocate it. But in the day of judgment, and if you're cast into the lake of fire, that conscience is going to, like the worm, crawls in, crawls out, crawls in, crawls out. It's going to torment you for all of eternity. So have you searched your own tongue to see if there's any iniquity, any lawlessness, any transgression, any sin, any evil way in it? Go, Job chapter 6 again. The Holy Spirit speaking again here. And here's what chapter 6, verse 30 says. The question, is there any iniquity in my heart? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Is there any iniquity in my tongue? Does not my taste discern perverse things? Where the scriptures have been perverted, that which is a fraud. Faith can discern perverse things, true faith. As it studies the word of God and it believes what God says. And it can tell that which is false from that which is true very quickly. You cannot lie about the truth of God. You may try to cover it, but it all comes out. God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. He doesn't speak in a holy manner. It's always truth and righteousness. And when a man who says he's a man of God starts to twist the words of God, and you can see when he twists the word of God because it goes contrary to the word of God. He's a pervert, he's perverse, he's a liar, and he's a fraud. And a tongue comes out of a tongue, which is perverse. Faith can discern perverse things, such as what many overlook at, and I mentioned earlier, such as the flattering heart, which is a flattering tongue, because the tongue speaks what's in the heart, in the mind. And people love to be flattered. They flatter others with their clothes, with their dressing, with their looks. Mouth. So you can flatter somebody with your behavior, but the biggest flattery comes from the tongue. You lie to them because you want something that you can't get any other way. And you'll do anything to them, which means that you'll destroy them spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, and destroy them to their hurt, to to where they even take their own lives. And there's many cases where this has happened. A flattering tongue. Lying tongue. So have you ever considered, have you taken, and at any time, it's deep consideration, that flattering and a flattering tongue is absolutely, in every form of it, evil. Totally wicked. There's not one good thing you'll find in the Bible that is said about flattery. It is always in the evil sense. It's always about evil and wickedness. Nothing is good. With a flattering tongue, they have come. With their heart, they profess to know me. But their lips is a flattering tongue. It's evil. There's no truth in flattery at all. It's all about deception, lies, and fraud. To take something from you that you're not willing to give to them. And they're not willing to get by in the right and proper manner. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. We're almost done for tonight. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. My handwriting is horrible. I'm going to make sure. Yes. Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. Here's what the Spirit of God says. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth, in their tongue. Remember, the mouth and the tongue go together. There's no faithfulness in their tongue and their mouth. They're full of flatteries and lies and evil speaking. Their inward part is very wickedness. That's the heart. The entire part of you, your whole essence, what you think, your motives, your intentions, your desires, your imaginations, it's all there. It's only very wicked. Their throat, again, the throat, the lips, the tongue, the mouth, all speak about the tongue and language. Their throat, their speech is what? An open sepulcher, an open tomb. You open up a graveyard, it stinks. Smells, rotten corpse. They're dying. And they don't realize it. And they want to kill you too. They flatter. They flatter with their lips, their mouth, their tongue, their throat. Their lying tongue, their evil tongue. And there's a passage you'll hear next week. And you love it so, the Word of God says. I know a lady. I'm going to have another talk with her. She got flattered. She's lost almost everything she has. And she told me, we had a long talk about flattery. I don't care. I love to be flattered. But I'm going to remind her now, do you still love flattery? She didn't heed the words then. Flattery. We are commanded to bridle our tongues, to bridle what we say, that our speech has to be holy and godly. Psalm 34:13. Book of Psalms. Chapter 34, verse 13 says this, keep thy tongue from evil. Prevent it. Obey the Spirit. Bridle your tongue. Discipline your tongue, your speech, from evil. And your lips from speaking guile. That's fraud. That's deception. There's flattery there. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. But how can you seek peace and pursue it and depart from evil when you're thinking and speaking evil things in your mind, in your imaginations, and outwardly? A lying, fraudulent, hypocritical tongue. The tongue, at any given moment of time, being left unchecked, will always speak evil. It'll speak lies. We are flesh and blood. We have a sin nature. We are born with a sin nature. The spirit and the flesh war against one another, and we are to keep the spirit always in the forefront and keep that flesh and blood in check so it doesn't go ahead and sin. We are called to watch and to pray over our unruly tongues. Why? So it does not happen or prevail over us and cause us to sin and cause us to lose our holy witness and testimony before the world in front of God Almighty, who's watching us right now. The tongue, one of the most powerful members in the human body, one of the smallest of members, but the most unruly, the most vile, the most violent. Because all violence in the heart comes through the mouth. We curse on the one hand, curse somebody to die. We try to bless God on the other hand. God says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. When they talk about the curses in the Old Testament, they fail to understand. God set two tables, two mounts. One was blessings, and the other one was cursings. God can curse, and he can bless. He's the only one. We are called at all times to bless and not to ever curse anybody. So with that being said and done, we're going to pray. Then we'll have some time for some questions and answers. Father, may we understand your scriptures. May we beg, plead daily for Holy Spirit wisdom, discernment, and understanding of thy words, that we put a watch over our mouth and a guard over our tongues, that we examine our tongue daily, that out of it would come holy speaking, godly speaking, words of love and truth and sincerity to the saving of people's souls and to the edification of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your glory, your praise, and your honor, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.